And a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We're looking at the Ardesh, which was held in Galway over the weekend. And we're also looking at temporary development contribution waiver scheme that's coming the way on that. We're looking at Parkinson's Awareness Week as well. Marie Cahill joins us in studio on that. Dermot Bannon joins us. We're looking at the Simon Open Door campaign, where they're raising money for the Galway Simon community. Working on a master plan indeed and a steering committee for the airport site. We'll be joined by Councillor Alan Cheevers and Councillor Liam Carroll on that as well. Today also on the programme, we're looking at a number of other issues, including Paul Connaughton joins us with Michael Kniff. They've got a major event coming to Mount Belier later in the year. They want to tell us all about that first. All of that, sports review, and indeed Galway greats between now and 12 midday. A very good morning to you. We are with you right through until 12 midday, and Galway greats today. They've done a lovely job on it, I have to say, a beautiful job on it. But Galway greats today happens to be myself. They turned the tables on me last week in the nicest possible way, so they did. And I was in a studio and I was talking about myself, and all of a sudden, John said, "This is Galway greats." So it's a lovely piece, I have to say, and brought back a lot of memories of life. But that goes out today, just after 10 past 11. If I may say so myself, it's a lovely piece, so it is. Now, though, let me move on today, because the razzmatazz that is Fine Gael currently, and the momentum that they have rolled into town for their Ardesh at the weekend, and many people came to town. But the University of Galway was the hosting campus for this. Quite appropriate indeed when you have the still sitting Minister for Higher Education, Simon Harris, about to become Taoiseach as the new leader as well. So it all really came together. But I want to go indeed to Mayor Eddie Hoare, who is a Fine Gael councillor as well. Eddie, it was some razzmatazz over the weekend and brought a lot of people in.
Good morning, Keith. Yes, very positive for Galway. Nearly 2,000 plus delegates from the Fine Gael party here in Galway over the weekend for the Fine Gael Ardesh. The first time since 1976 under the leadership of Liam Cosgrove that the Fine Gael Ardesh has been held in Galway. So again, very, very positive and good for Galway and the region.
And I mean, so the University of Galway certainly was well showcased. And again, Simon Harris in his speech spoke about education and student accommodation and housing. He covered quite a bit from there. And where was the base then, in the Galway Bay Hotel or the Galmont Hotel or both?
The Galmont Hotel was where most of the delegates stayed, and that's where the function would have been held over the weekend. So again, real to acknowledge the Galmont Hotel and all the team, Stefan, Karen and all the team there, was really put on a really good show. But also to the university, I know the Taoiseach-elect Simon Harris had an opportunity to meet with Professor Kieran O'Hogarthy as well to set out some of the key issues for the university and some of the challenges, and a number of business groupings had that opportunity too. So again, for Galway, it was really good to have that dialogue, to have that communication with the new Taoiseach and other delegates around from Fine Gael and other regions.
It's certainly, I mean, from watching it and seeing some of the commentary on it and reading some of the commentary online and in the papers yesterday, it seems that, I mean, a lot of the older Fine Gael people seem to come back into the party for this Ardesh. Am I reading that right or wrong?
Yes, most certainly. There was a real buzz, a real energy around Enda Kenny, former Taoiseach, wasn't able to attend, but he had a short video in advance of Simon Harris coming to the stage to give his leader's address. And a lot of former members of Fine Gael coming back into the party. So most certainly a buzz surrounding the Ardesh this weekend. The new slogan that Simon Harris is carrying is "It's a new energy." And there was a new energy in Galway this weekend, a new energy, but also an acknowledgement that there are some challenges ahead. There's difficulties and recognition that further needs to be done to acknowledge those and to speak to some of the values that are some of the issues that Simon Harris has raised as new leader and Taoiseach elect. He's an emphasis on supporting rural Ireland and recognising that Fine Gael was always a party that supported farmers, fishermen and women, and a commitment to continue that, a significant commitment on the delivery of more houses, 250,000 over the course of the next 5 years. So again, an acknowledgement that yes, we've made improvements, but there's more to be done. Small businesses are struggling, so with the cost of doing business, so an acknowledgement to enhance the grant aid and funding available to those. And a big one for me was for workers, to a commitment to raise the standard rate cut-off point that you'll enter the higher rate of tax to 50,000. So effectively any worker in the state over the course of the next number of years earning up to 50,000 will pay just about 12% income tax on that first 50,000. So again, a good acknowledgement of workers, businesses, farmers, obviously the delivery of housing. And as a Fine Gael delegation, there was a proposal set down to strongly support the development and delivery of the Galway City Ring Road, and that was unanimously supported by delegates on Saturday. And again, something that I'm very supportive of, as our colleagues, and I think that's representative of most of the government representation here in the West.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, and so when it finished in the college then on Saturday, was there a function then in the Galmont to celebrate the event then? Is that where the major function was on Saturday night?
Yes, so the delegates gathered in the Galmont on Saturday evening. And just to acknowledge as well, just from a Galway perspective, I think it was a very successful day insofar as Councillor Clodagh Higgins, Senator Sean Coyne, and Peter Allen, who's chair of the Galway West Fine Gael branch, were all elected to the National Executive. So again, there was voting took place on Saturday. So three representatives from Galway City. So again, that's a good endorsement of Galway, and of Galway as a city and as a region, and they'll have a forum to be able to deliver and channel and communicate the Galway message. And of course, tomorrow is a very important day as well in terms of the election of a new Taoiseach and a cabinet reshuffle. And just to wish colleague Hildegard Nocton all the very best as a super junior and government chief whip. I think she's been a really good representation for the West, and hopefully it's her opportunity to get a senior ministry at cabinet. But just for that, on Saturday evening, yes, there was a function in the Galmont and hosted by Fine Gael, but to recognise the Galmont, they're excellent and couldn't do enough for the delegates and supporters.
And what time did that start at? Because I mean, it was 7 o'clock when the speeches were over, so it must have been half 8,
that
9
commenced from about half 8, 9 o'clock. So I suppose there was quite a, after the leader's address, there was probably people gathered for about an hour in the Bailey Allen Hall. It was quite a big crowd there, so it took a while to disperse the crowd. About half 8, 9 o'clock. Again, also, Keith, a lot of the Fine Gael ministers met with councillors and did a local canvass. So I must acknowledge Minister for Justice Ella McEntee, who I canvassed with in Galway City. And we met the Little Blue Heroes who were there to welcome in 150 cyclists, which included Drew Harris, the Garda Commissioner. So again, that was a really positive event, and it was lovely to see the Little Blue Heroes and some sick children being acknowledged and great funds being raised for them. I know Simon Harris was in Salt Hill, Pascal Donoghue was in Turlough Moor, Peter Burke in Athenry with Martin Hayden was in another area, and Simon Coveney in Menlo, Tyrell. And so again, it's good to see the senior ministers getting out on the ground and listening to the message of the people, because there are challenges, and I fully acknowledge, and I think everyone in Fine Gael, enough hasn't been done and more can be done. And starting hopefully from tomorrow, that'll be a new message that can be communicated. But finally, Keith, as well, to recognise the former current Taoiseach, but former party leader, Leo Varadkar, who was in Galway as well, and gave a really rousing address to the crowd to, I suppose, oversee his term in government, and spoke to, I suppose, an economy that he inherited, which probably wasn't as prosperous, and acknowledged some of the challenges that we do face, but did recognise that us as a country, us as a city, have come quite a long way.
Okay.
So it was nice to see him given an address, and was really well received by the crowd.
Finally, I mean, you did have indeed Leo Varadkar booked for your mayoral ball. Is there any chance you're going to get Simon?
Yes, well, I spoke with Simon, and it's in Simon's diary. And I have a very capable MC to be able to introduce him to the stage as well in Keith Finnegan. So, no, definitely looking forward to a really, really good night on Friday, April the 26th, again in the Galmont Hotel for five local charities: the NBCRI, the Blue Teapot Theatre Company, Roosevelt's Rooms, the Galway Sick Kids Foundation, and Hope Space. So five local charities, one cancer research and four children's charities. So I'm expecting a full house. It'll be sold out, I'd expect, this week, with over 550 in attendance. So again, hoping to have the Taoiseach elect there to give the keynote address and lots of other entertainment planned on the night. So again, it should be a really positive night and a good night to promote Galway and put the message out there for our city and our county and region.
All right, Mayor Eddie Hoare, thank you, Eddie, for joining us, and well done to the senior politicians who went out and about yesterday and did yesterday and indeed on Saturday, just to support the local councillors. Absolutely, and it was good to see. Though I didn't see any of them, to be honest, but it was good to see the social media posts indeed in relation to what was achieved. I certainly thought, by just looking at the images coming out of University of Galway, there was a lot of energy in the room, and certainly he gave a lot to it as well. But a lot of energy. I want to go to Councillor Andrew Reddington, who joins me now on the line as well. Andrew, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Were you at the Ardesh as well?
I was at the Ardesh, Keith. Yeah, I just listened to Eddie there. I was at the Ardesh for the morning session there. I had a question in relation to agriculture, in relation to the reintroduction of the Farm Retirement Scheme, which a lot of farmers in North Galway asked me to bring up at the Ardesh. And I also had a question with the Minister, Kieran O'Donnell, in relation to the development waiver contribution for that to be extended. So I was there for the morning shift, but unfortunately, Keith, I had to go to the maternity ward in the shed because we have cows calving, so I wasn't there for the evening.
You frightened the life out of me for a moment when you said I had to go to the maternity ward in the shed. But anyway, and did the cows calf?
One of them did, anyway. There's still a few more of them to calf.
Have you called that calf Leo or Simon now? You have to make a decision on this.
We'll decide now next November when we sell it in Hetford Mart. They can decide what to call it.
Listen, I mean, you mentioned there the Temporary Development Contribution Waiver Scheme. What's involved in this, and have you got a commitment on it?
Listen, Keith, I have to say it was one of the most progressive schemes that was brought forward in my time over the last 5 years by the Minister, Darragh O'Brien. And it was a development waiver for, you know, one-off housing, multi-unit developments or self-builds. And that was big, huge for people in rural Ireland. For example, if a young person was building a house, that they wouldn't have to pay the development contribution. Noting that the development contribution started on the 25th of April 2023, and it's finishing now shortly on the 24th of April 2024, and the developments have to be completed by the 31st of December 2024, or 2025, should I say. Now, when introduced, this got things moving, but the issues that are out there at the moment, as you know, Keith, by the time you get a site, you get it changed over, solicitors, you employ an agent to apply for your planning permission. And for example, then if you go through the statutory period of planning permission in the council,
Which you have to,
and you can change that. Sometimes there's further information asked by the council, and that could knock things on a couple of months. So I have a huge amount of people at this moment in time, young people, who are waiting to put in their commencement notices, but can't because they don't have the final grant. And if they don't have it in before the 24th of April, they're not going to get the waiver. Now, that could be 3,000 or 4,000 euro for a young family building a house, not excluding the water waiver. And for larger developments, in for the likes of small housing estate or for like 50 houses, that could be between 50,000 and 100,000. So I had a mission. I went up there Saturday, as I said already, to speak on the Farm Retirement Scheme, but also to personally meet with Kieran O'Donnell and say, listen, we need this waiver extended.
Did you get a positive response?
I have to say, listen, he couldn't give me any commitment on the day, but what he did say was that they're looking possibly at a new waiver scheme, and he couldn't tell me when that was going to happen. But I urged him to, you know, I said that this is one of the most positive things that's happened in, I suppose, rural Ireland. It got things moving. I see dealing with a lot of young people now that over the last year that have gone for planning permission, some successful and unfortunately some not. But I'm dealing with a lot at the moment that are at that further information part where they have to send back stuff back to the council to get the final grant. Mm. And I have one family in particular that are renting in Hetford, a young couple that are renting in Hetford. And as you know, you can't get a house to rent in Hetford now for less than 1,500 a month. They're renting, they're waiting to get the final grant. And this development contribution waiver, you know, would be huge for them to get. It could be the difference between, you know, fitting part of a kitchen or fitting floors or tiling a bathroom or whatever. And I suppose I've urged Kieran O'Donnell to speak to Minister Darragh O'Brien to get this waiver extended. Or if they can't extend the current waiver, to come up with a new waiver scheme almost immediately after the 24th of April, because it's huge for the rural areas.
All right, listen, thanks, Anif, for joining us today on that. Keep us up to date on that, if you don't mind, because the clock is ticking. You won't feel it now until it is the 24th of April today. And the comment lines are open if you do want to get through to us, and you can do so on 086 38 33 55 3. You can also call us today on the telephone on 091 77 0077 and take it from there. Quick commercial break, and we're back just after these.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, located on the Monavé Road.
Now, very good morning to you. Parkinson's Awareness Week is happening all of this week, and Marie Cahill joins me from the Galway Parkinson's Association, and she and Caroline Rush are that association, but she sits opposite me today. Good morning to you, Marie. Thanks for joining us today. Is this a national Parkinson's Awareness Week?
Yes, Keith. Thank you for the opportunity to come this morning. Yeah, it is. Parkinson's Awareness Week is from the today until the 25th of April, where we promote Parkinson's and get people to know about the supports that are out there available in the different counties for Parkinson's.
Now, you have first-hand knowledge of Parkinson's. I have first-hand knowledge. And as we know, we lost a great friend indeed, Clem Walsh, recently. And again, he had Parkinson's for many years. But, I mean, there's so much support there for people now.
Absolutely. And firstly, you're right. We lost a great friend, Clem Walsh, a little over a month ago. Clem was part of the early group long before I joined it, and it was a great support to us both as a member and giving us advice and fundraising for us and everything. So,
and a mentor, yeah,
he is, absolutely, yeah, we did miss him.
But again, I mean, he was diagnosed as a young man, and there's a lot of people now being diagnosed at a younger age.
Absolutely. We are finding that the numbers are increasing every single day. We're getting more people referred to us via GPs, public health nurses, and from the wonderful team that we have in UCHG, the wonderful neurological team that we have in UCHG.
And again, I mean, how does one find out? And is there an age profile that people either don't get or get Parkinson's? And is it hereditary?
There isn't an age profile. It can affect anybody of any age. There is research being done at the moment in relation to it being hereditary or not. We've had instances where we've had brothers who have had Parkinson's, but I suppose the consultant is the main person who will diagnose Parkinson's. The GP will make a referral to a consultant within UCHG, and from there then they will be diagnosed with Parkinson's and given the medication to help them to deal with Parkinson's.
And that medication has come on in leaps and bounds in the last number of years.
Absolutely. My mum had Parkinson's, and from the time she had Parkinson's up until today, things have changed so much in every aspect.
Mm. And again, what is it like for Galway Parkinson's Association when somebody comes to you and says, look, I've been diagnosed? To them, it's the end of the world because they may not understand it.
Absolutely. We receive calls from lots of people who have been recently diagnosed and don't know what to do or where to turn. Mm. I suppose everybody's first gut instinct is to Google to see how things are. But to be honest with you, that's one thing we just don't encourage, Google. We have a really good service in Galway. Currently, we have physiotherapy with two wonderful physios, Donna Kitt and James Diskin. We have physio in Galway City, Athenry, Tuam, Ballinasloe, and Clifton and Barna. Clifton is a new venture we took on end of last year, and it's proved a huge success.
I know at the time that you had a lot of members from that general area, but have more come since then? Is it now?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot more people have found out about it. So physio runs once a week in Clifton, which is absolutely wonderful, and covers the Connemara region. That was down thanks to the Nee family, who did a fundraiser for us. We're also very lucky to work with Rebecca and Roisin from the HSE in relation to speech classes, mm-hmm. which prove vital for people with Parkinson's. We're doing yoga online with Zoom with Jimmy. And a new venture we've started is set dancing, sitting on a chair, which has proved beyond belief the best fun ever they're having.
Sitting on a chair, step dancing.
Absolutely, yeah. We're doing it in Galway City and in Tuam, and it's just proved to be a huge success.
Who does the teaching?
Pat O'Dea is his name. He comes from Limerick. We've had him at various information days, and
so he specialises in this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. I know you have a major golf event coming up in May as well, haven't you?
Yes, we have, in conjunction with Loughrea Golf Club, and we'd like to thank John and Pat Lucknan and Loughrea, who are having a 3-day four-team scramble. So anybody who wishes to contact us or wants to get involved, if they check out our Facebook page or contact Loughrea Golf Club, they'll be able to give them more details in relation to it.
Again, a lot of the work that you're talking about there, it's fundraising that pays for that. A lot of the activities that you're talking about, that's all fundraising that brings that on.
Absolutely. We're very lucky. Like the Golf Classic, and I know you had Joan Dempsey here the other day. Mm. Our daughter Ellen is running the Belfast Marathon for us on the 5th of May to raise funds for us as well. We depend on the goodwill of people in Galway City and County to fundraise for us, and I suppose families see the benefit of the classes we provide and see how much their family member is enjoying it and how much it is benefiting them, and they organise fundraisers for us. Recently, we've also taken over the running of the Roscommon branch as well. So this Sunday there, we're going to have a fundraiser in Oran, a walk. So we cover kind of Mount Bellew, Maelah, that area down there, as well as Roscommon, providing services also.
But you work full time.
Yeah, but we have a great team.
They're myself, all volunteers.
We're all volunteers. Myself, Caroline, Jerry, and I suppose when we're at work, myself and Caroline, we've wonderful volunteers on the ground who help out. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Yeah, but it is a voluntary committee that's there. But look at the impact that you're having.
The benefit, and I suppose when you go to the classes, whether it's physiotherapy, speech, or the new class of set dancing, and see how much they enjoy it and how much they're getting out of it, both socially, more importantly, and physically, it's worth every penny of it.
And has there been many strides in, we've spoken about the medication, but in, you know, because it is based in the brain, am I correct on that now?
Yeah.
But is there anything from a neurological point of view that can be done to assist those that have been recently diagnosed?
I suppose it's engaging, more importantly, with the services that we provide and to linking in with their neurologist, you know, and that's really important. There isn't at the minute, but there is a lot of research being done. Eilish O'Dowd is doing a huge amount of research in NUIG. And I suppose things have come a long way since me and Caroline started this road. And I suppose that's the positive side of it all.
Yeah. That was a long-winded way of me asking. There is no cure just yet, but there's research going into it.
Absolutely. Listen, everybody, it's amazing to see the difference in members that start off with us and after they're partaking in classes and getting their medication on time, which is a huge, important part of Parkinson's, you can see the difference.
When you say medication on time, do you mean at the same time every day?
Absolutely. It's really important.
So routine is good.
Absolutely. And it's very important that you take your medication at the same time every day so that your brain is getting dopamine that it's lacking in. And that's really important.
And how many times a day does that medication?
That varies with everybody, and your neurologist is the person who allocates the times and the dosage for that.
So if there's somebody listening to us today and they've been diagnosed but they haven't engaged with the Parkinson's Ireland Galway branch, how do they go about doing so?
If they wish to contact me on 087 77 83 825, I can chat to them and go through the services we provide and get them joined up in the group.
And those services are free?
Absolutely.
So Marie's number is 087-778-3825. You started from very humble beginnings. Roughly how many members would you have?
We're up on nearly 300 members at the moment. Yeah.
It's a lot of organising in that, Marie.
But as I said, we have a very good network team, and without them we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
But you must be exhausted. 300?
Yeah, that's like, that covers all of Galway City and County, and I suppose it shows that people with Parkinson's are gaining and accessing more services. In, we'll just take Roscommon for example. When we started out there first, there was 15 people. Now we're nearly up to 60 members in Roscommon.
It just shows the need for the service.
Absolutely.
It does. Listen, well done to you. Good luck with that golf fundraiser as well. It's Friday the 3rd of May to Monday the 6th of May. It's over that bank holiday weekend. Four-person team scramble. You know all about that now because you're a great golfer, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Entry fee is €120 per team. T-Box sponsorship 50. And again, if you want to get further details, you can contact John Redden or you can contact Adrian Callanan at Lockray Golf Club there. Marie, keep strong and lovely to see you again. And thanks, Steve, for popping into us today. Quick commercial break and we're back just after these. Good morning to you.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.
Now, very good morning to you. Keith, I had a fall in Mudkey pedestrian lights yesterday and immediately a group of guys helped me, as well as a woman and a young girl as well. I would like to sincerely thank them for their help. And that comes from Jim Riddle to the programme. Morning, Jim, and I hope that you're good after that as well. Now, the RIAI Simon Open Door campaign, which raises a significant amount of money for the Galway Simon community and Simon at a national level as well, is very much open. Dermot Bannon, as we know, Dermot is an architect and television presenter, but he joins me on the line to tell us more about the RIAI Simon Open Door campaign. Dermot, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Are you working hard this weather?
I'm working hard this weather. It's miserable rain. I'm actually on my way to site, so I pulled in on the side of the road, and the rain is absolutely miserable here in Dublin. What's it like in Galway?
It's dull, but it's not wet, thank God, yet, but the rain is on the way to us. But
that's
the way it is in Galway all the time. That's the way we sell it from there. Listen to me, the RIAI Simon Open Door campaign, it's been going for many years. And
20 years.
Yeah, this is where people, though, can get pay a fee and they can get the advice of you or some of your colleagues right around the country.
Exactly. So it's 20 years in, it's been 20 years going. It's an amazing initiative because I suppose, look, I know because people talk to me in queues in homeware stores and everywhere, and they all pull out their phones and they say, oh, what would I do with this room? What would I do with that room? And thinking about building a house, or I'd love to put an extension onto my house. I know people have loads of questions, and they might always think that their questions are big enough to go to an architect, or they might be a bit intimidated by the process or a little bit overwhelmed by the process. So this is a chance to meet up with an architect, or if you're building your own home, maybe two or three architects, to see who fits with you the best, who you get along with, and ask them anything. You know, even if it's just, I'd love to sort out storage, I'd love to build a storage room in the middle of my house, how would I do it? Or I'd like to get a utility room. Small projects or big projects, the extension, the reconfiguration, it's your chance to go and meet an architect, and you get them for an hour and you can grill them about anything. And you make a donation to the Simon community and that pays for your consultation. So there's no money exchanges hands with the architect, and all of the money, every cent goes to the Simon community.
I suppose so. I mean, people approach jobs from the wrong side and then it ends up costing twice as much as you've seen often the time. So if you get advice in advance for the €120, you get the advice in advance, take that advice before you start knocking walls or taking stairs out or changing windows and doors. Get the advice first.
And you know something, what you said there, take the advice. That's probably one of the key things. Like, you're getting a professional who's been in this for a number of years and to look at your home. And sometimes people can't see the woods for the trees. Or what I see more and more now, because of social media and TV programs and things like that, people come in with a very fixed vision of how they want their home to be. And that might necessarily suit them. So if somebody says, I wouldn't do that, I would try doing this. Do listen to them, because sometimes we get so invested and buying a car, going on holidays, they're kind of big decisions that we make every year, or not every year with a car, but we make these decisions. Buying your or when you're doing up your home, a lot of people have been thinking about it for maybe 5, 10, 15 years, and they get a very kind of strong vision in their head. And it's very difficult to let go of that. Yeah. And actually, it might be. So go in with an open mind and kind of just, there's no point in going along to it if you can't, if you just want them to tell them what's in your head is the right thing to do. Look, what's in your head might be the right thing to do, but listen, there's always sometimes you can't see the woods for the trees, or you'll think, oh, that wall, I can never take that down because it's going to be way too expensive. There's a chimney in it, or I know there's a piece of steel in there because it went in 30 years ago. But go along to the consultation and listen, and fresh eyes. And nobody's ever come out to the consultation without thinking, I never would have thought of that.
And how much money do you think collectively As RIAI members, will you be able to raise this year?
Well, God, I'm hoping we'll raise over the 100 grand mark. We've raised 1.4 million over the last 20 years, so it's a phenomenal amount of money. It's their biggest fundraiser of the year. I always secretly in your own head, you'd love to get up to the 120, 140,000 mark because it's the Simon community have got their work cut out for them. When I started as an ambassador with them, it was about soup runs, it was about medical buses, it was about emergency accommodation for people overnight. Now it's about helping families get homes. The work is colossal all over the country as homelessness increases.
We work very closely with them here, and Karen Golden and her crew here, and what they do on a daily basis really staggers me that they can get to do what they do, getting people accommodation, like you've said there. So how long of a consultation then roughly will they get, Dermot? And how do you shut it down, by the way, when that time comes up?
Oh, it's...
it'll only be another 5 minutes now. It'll be another 10 minutes now, and I'll be finished with you.
They're roughly supposed to take an hour. And if you've solved somebody's problem within the hour, great. If it takes another 10 minutes, it's not the end of the world. It all depends on if somebody's doing it in their office and they've got, they might have given up 5 hours of their day towards this. And if they've got somebody coming in hour after hour, you don't want it to run over. But generally, people will be very accommodating, and if there's still another question to ask, they'll do it. Like I've designed a house in an hour. Now it's been very rough, but I've still done it within the hour. But most the hour is generally enough time to give somebody a really, really good solution to a problem that they may have with their home. And the better prepared you are, the better the consultation will be. So if you have loads of photographs of your house, and not just photographs of the rooms, but photographs looking out of the rooms, because you could, like a lot of times people will come up to me and they'll take loads of photographs of their house inside, and then I'll say, but is there a view of that church spire from that window? And they say, oh yeah. And they don't take any photographs looking outwards. So if you've got a really nice view, if you've got a lot of people do, or they'll have a nice garden, take pictures of the garden, take pictures of buildings that may be in the distance. So loads and loads of photographs. And that's much easier to do now than it was 20 years ago. You can just go around with your smartphone. Again, the tools that are available to us as architects with Google Earth and things like that, like we can put your house into 3D. I can find out whether it's north, south, east, west facing. I can do an awful lot of that just as a desktop study. But really, if you've got a set of house plans as well, and a lot of people do, if they bought a second-hand house, on the brochure, there would have been a house plan on the inside of it. Or if they built their own house, they'll have the plans maybe up in the attic somewhere or in a file that's been filed away. So if you can dig out house plans, if not, just do a quick sketch and kind of roughly where the rooms are and a good set of photographs, and we'll be able to piece it together and give good advice.
But I take when you say, Dermot Bennett, when you say photographs, you wouldn't mind them if they printed them, because there's nothing worse than a small dirty mobile phone flicking back and forth.
Well, or if you've got an iPad, it's easier, they're a little bit bigger, but you'd be surprised how you can, like, lots of photographs that you can flick through on your phone. Don't worry about it being just on your phone. You don't have to print them out. If you have them printed out, great, but don't worry about that.
Yeah. And again, Galway is well featured. Your colleagues in Galway are very much putting their shoulder to the wheel on this one as well, Dermot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Up and down the country. And again, if consultations sell out in your area, like one thing we did over the pandemic was we were able to do a lot of them by Zoom. So, sometimes people will ring them and say, look, can you send me through your drawings and things like that, have a bit of a chat, and then they'll go away, do up a sketch, and then email it back to them, and then they can have a chat. There's lots of different ways. So if you can't get to somebody, or all the consultations are sold out in your area, maybe have a look a bit further afield and get the consultation there, because it can all be done. You can go and visit them, or it can all be done online.
Absolutely. And what is the best way, or what website would you be directing them to, Dermot?
Okay, so everybody, it has to go through the Simon Open Door website. So it's RIAI Simon Open Door. Now, that's a bit of a mouthful. So if you want to just, if you Google Simon Open Door, it'll bring you straight there. So, but it's the RIAI, simonopendoor.ie is the website that will bring you there. And it's really easy to navigate. You select your province, then your county, then your town, and it'll tell you who's available. But if there's nobody available there, look in the next town or in the region.
I was talking to a very proud mom recently who... her son had built a house. So you're written into the history books when she made the statement. I said, I'm talking to him on Monday, I must tell him. And she said to me, Dermot Bannon would be jealous of what he did. So you're now written into the history books. I said, why would you say that for? Oh, but isn't he what we kind of we gauge everything against. I said, so there.
I'm the bar.
You're the bar, but this young fella, I'll have to send you photographs. Maybe he'll pay. Oh, he's wealthy enough to pay the 120 to go along and show you the photographs. But there you go. The mom is very, very passionate about it. But well done to you. Are you busy
Isn't it great though? Like, I suppose, when I started off doing Room to Improve, people got the builder in and they built a house, they built an extension, they bought a set of house plans. Everybody's houses look the same. But isn't it great now that people are actually taking a really keen interest in design and they're proud of what they do, and they're, you know, it's not just paint by numbers anymore. People are thinking, no, I'm after capturing that gorgeous view out over the Burren, or I'm after getting loads of light into it. Like, it's really brilliant that as a nation we're in engaging with and embracing design.
And would there be a documentary in a documentary about the program that you've been doing for many years? The behind the scenes, because you seem to get on fairly well, and you're very forthright, and you're very strong, and you're very.
You want the dirt, is it?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Yeah, but you seem to, you're very straight. Sometimes they don't like it, and I've seen all of your series because I love looking at the before and after, and the difficulties that are encountered. And I mean, you've got some wonderful builders as well there.
We've got some great builders and we've had some amazing homeowners who've shared their story. Like, it's nothing without the people who take part in the projects and build their homes, because, you know, if they weren't open and honest and tell us how they feel, I think that's the secret to Room to Improve is the honesty of the people, the homeowners whose projects we're doing, because, you know, they really let us into their lives and we feel every bit of pain, we feel every bit of stress for them, and you know, without them how they are on the show, there wouldn't be one.
And do you ever worry that they will run out of money, or have they ever run out of money?
I worry all the time. I worry about loads of things, not just about the money. Yeah, you do. You worry about, because every time you take on a project, you're almost taking on a promise. And so when you sign them up and you say, look, this is my budget, this one, your aim is to do your absolute best for them and to get as much as you possibly can out of that budget. But I suppose, over the last couple of years, prices have been fluctuating up and down. We've had the pandemic, we've had shortage of materials, we've had so many things that have been really challenging. And you're still on that promise to them. And, you know, you get tenders back and they're 100,000 over where you thought they were going to be. And then you're, you know, there's 3 weeks of scraping it back and moving a wall in by 100 millimetres here, there and everywhere to make everything a little bit smaller, to try and redesign things to make it a bit cheaper. So it is, that's the stressful bit. It's not that, you know, that they'll run out of money, it's that you have to come up with a solution, because once we've signed them up and we start on the journey with them, we have to finish. So the pressure comes back onto me. Well, you know, we need to get to an end of this regardless. Yeah. So if it's come back in over budget, it's your job to get them to the over the line.
And do you see those increases since the Ukrainian war and otherwise, indeed, where building supplies have gone through the roof? Are you seeing that in tenders coming in, and indeed from your colleagues that are QS?
Yeah, well, I think it's leveled out a bit. I think that the big jump was maybe a couple of years ago and last year, but it is like they've leveled off, but I haven't seen things coming down yet. That's why I suppose I'm expecting over the next year is that things will start to level off and come down a bit. But it was about 2 years ago there was a massive, and during the pandemic and kind of in the years those 3 years, I think prices rose. They've leveled off quite a bit now.
Is there another series in the offing?
There is another series in the offing. Mm. Yes.
So when do your family get to see you then? On the mantelpiece?
On the telly.
Yeah.
You get quieter periods. Like, obviously, coming up towards the end of the year, if we're on air in January, like October, November, December are just literally a write-off when it comes to home life and all that. But yeah, you try and make the most of your summer and this time of the year.
But do you have privacy? I mean, can you go out and about with your family and be left alone?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I think that's a mindset. I've been doing this for so long. I suppose the kids have always known that dad has been well known and that people want to talk to him about their homes and things like that. So they kind of get used to it. But yeah, I it's never stopped me doing anything. I'm one of the lucky ones that anybody who does come up to me and has a chat with me, they're always incredibly nice and they just want to say nice things about the TV show and what it means to them. So, you know, it's all good.
Well, we want some of those nice people now to go to RIAI, Simon Open Doors, and pay your €120 donation. And just you can just say, look, Dermot told me to come on board, and away we go. We'll see how much he raised from there, no pressure. And we get a QS in to see, did he raise enough? And we'll get all that done. So we will, and see, can we shave something off somewhere as well? This is important for Simon. But Dermot Bannon, thank you so much for joining us today in the programme.
Not at all.
And we look forward to next year's series as well. It'll be John that'll be looking after you then when that comes out. Thanks for joining us today on the programme. Now, I've got a good few requests in for the telephone number when it comes to Galway Parkinson's. So I'm going to give it to you again. That number there is 087-77-83825. So that's Marie's number if you want to get in contact with her. Again, the number, I'm going to leave it in reception, and Ava's in reception today, so it'll be there all day on 091-770-077. But quite simply, it's 087-77-83825. That's the number that you can get on. Marie on, and please give her a call. If you have it, my mom had Parkinson's. I think we've had every flipping known illness going in our family down through the years. Touch wood, we're all clear currently, wherever the timber is, there it is. But my mom was very, very discommoded with Parkinson's, and it didn't change her life. She developed dementia, so it didn't change her life fully because she wasn't aware of it for most of it. But I have to say the likes of Paddy Brown, who's the clinical nurse specialist in the hospital in the neurology department, and her neurologist as well, they were very good to her. But you don't have to be on that journey alone. And back when my mom was diagnosed, it was a kind of a lonely enough old journey, so it was for her. And she didn't want to talk about it, but she muddled through it and she got through it. And she lived a long time with it, so she did. But again, just don't suffer in silence on your own. If you're affected by our conversation with Marie Cahill in relation to Parkinson's, the number is 087-77-83825. Now, yet to come on the programme, we have a number of issues coming the way. We'll be looking at a number of issues coming the way. The future for the airport site is going to be determined in the next 6 months, so we'll be looking at that. Paul Connaughton and Michael Kniff join us. There's a major event coming to Mount Bellew, and they're giving us the exclusive on that this morning as well. So we're looking at that. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to have our sports review, so we'll be looking back on what happened in Ruislip and all the other sporting events, including Connacht over the weekend. So we'll be doing that at about 10:45, because John Morley has Galway greats for you today. And what he's done is he's put me in there. God bless him. That's a Galway great. But I'm looking forward to listening to it now, because we had a note in our heads, two of us. Well, he can sing, I can't. But there was no notes or anything. We just recorded it last week. So I'm looking forward to listening to what I said and how he managed to put it down to play out for you today. Don't forget too, by the way, this coming Friday is my final day doing Galway Talks, and this day week, John will be the new presenter of Galway Talks here on Galway BFM, and we wish him every success in that regard because he deserves it and he's a good guy. But tune in this coming Friday, because I really don't know what to expect, but it is, we'll be finishing here at 12 o'clock on the button on this coming Friday. Now then, let's head towards the Galway BFM news desk for the 10 o'clock news. Stay tuned for that and more to come between now and the end of today's programme.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.